Welcome to Booktopia Podcast. I'm John Purcell. I'm sitting across from Sally Fitzgibbon. She's coming to talk about Summer Fit. Welcome, Sally.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
I have had a look at your book, and it is perfect for morons like me, because I will not get off my ass unless someone actually does nearly all the hard work for me. And flicking through this book, I thought, oh my God, this book's going to ask me to be healthy. It's going to ask me to change my ways. It's going to ask me to do all this stuff, and I can't be asked, pretty much. But it is so simple and step by step, and it almost anticipates all of my complaints.
Oh, it's brilliant that you can flick through and you already see that. What? It's trying to get you to just embrace you, but like, hey, there's some easy stuff that you can put in, like some fuel, a few sessions, and just almost like, I don't know, it's that feeling that I get, like I guess my whole life being active and outdoors and just eating healthy food is just like, it just gives you this like zest for life. And
at the moment,
energy.
I'm just going to have to imagine that feeling. Okay, I'm going to try. If I follow the book, I might actually experience the feeling. This is a weekly plan. Like, it's got a beautiful weekly plan, and it actually has what I need to buy. Like, it breaks it down that basically to my shopping list.
Exactly.
For each week. And so I don't have to. And then those things go into the recipes that are in the week. And then it tells you step by step how to do the recipe. Like, it's just, it's a bookshop. I get to see lots of books on health and cooking and doing all the right things. But there's always this gap between me and doing it.
Oh, 100%. It's like life is so hectic and crazy. And I think, you know, when I think of my own life, it's like I wanted to make it so it's like I'm there saying, I know what you mean. Like, you know, like I read a lot of recipes and see a lot of amazing picks out there. They go, that looks so yummy. I want to cook it. I look through. I was like, well, I don't have any of those ingredients in my fridge. Like, and so I started to go backwards from there and scratch my own itch of like, if I picked up the book, what would I want to see? So I guess having the 28-day meal plan, also over 100 recipes, and then some of the fitness included, it's like saying, well, everyone's going to come in at their own level, or they might already have their fitness regime on lock and they just need that nutrition plan. But I guess most of all, I want it to be there for imagination, like to spark everyone's imagination that, you know, this is a guideline, but when you open your fridge, I want it to almost go step it back, that when you're in the supermarket, that it starts to suit your philosophy to say, you know, I am on this healthy eating plan. I'm going to purchase these groceries. I'm not going to put, I guess, junk food in my house, so there's not an option to eat it or cook with it. And then, you know, I want them to say, oh, my favorite recipe was, you know, from Summer Fit was this. I don't have all those ingredients now, but that's inspired me. I'll whip up this. And so they can kind of see it in their head. It's not as hard. And we want life to be easy, we want it to be quick, and you know, healthy food and living can be.
So your morning plans and your daytime plans, how much is that based on your own routines?
It is, you know, I guess life at the moment, I live sort of 7 to 8 months on the road, so touring around on the World Surfing Tour. It is a lot of fun. It is, you know, it is challenging at times to always have the best produce with me. So my day on the plate is revolving doors. It kind of changes every single day. But I guess the inspiration is that I love sitting in the surf and seeing rainbows, being in nature. I'm a nature woman at heart and grown up in and around the water. So, you know, to see, you know, all those colours in my everyday, I want to bring that to my food and to my plate.
Oh,
that's the concept behind Eat Rainbow.
This is gorgeous. Yeah, the Eat Rainbow page is absolutely divine. Like,
it's all colour-coded.
Yeah, it's amazing, absolutely amazing. It's definitely worth picking up the book just to have a look at those few pages just for the gorgeousness of them.
Yeah, no, I guess it's got that scrapbook feel where, you know, it's not hours of reading. They're just little blurbs, little bubbles on stuff. And I think a lot of people go to the supermarket and they go, yeah, someone told me to eat kale or eat a pomegranate. Like, what does it do? And so they're trying to have those like quick tip facts to be like, oh, that attachment, I'm eating this because it's helping my cells regenerate, or I'm eating that. And it makes you question like, am I, you know, kind of letting myself down with the variety? And that's where the color concept comes in. Like, do you have an array of colours, or are you just going back to that one, you know, because I don't have enough time to think about this, so we're trying to, yeah, really expand people's horizons.
And your horizons, you know, travelling for six or eight months a year, you must be running into tons of different kinds of foods and different cultures and different approaches to health. Are you picking up things as you run?
Oh, it's wild. To travel and open your eyes, I think, is a real gift. I'm really fortunate to not only surf the waves of the world, but just experience people and cultures. And that's why I try and immerse myself at the place. It's not so much like hotel living. It's more renting an Airbnb or an apartment and you know, shopping at the local grocer. You're not always able to speak the language. But I think food is a beautiful love language, and so is health and fitness. And, you know, you don't have to actually speak the same dialogue, but the awareness of going and being at the local markets and just kind of foraging around, like when I have time, and just I think that's what makes travel for me at the moment so enjoyable and fun, because it's that homely feel. I really do get to sink my teeth into their culture, their food, and the waves and surf culture.
So you've been doing this for a very long time, and you're still very young. How young were you when you first went out there into the world doing the tour?
Yeah. No, I was pretty young when I started to experience travel. And one of my initial trips was actually going to China for soccer, like a soccer exchange. And I remember going there and that the hustle and bustle of the major cities, and you know, you walk the streets and there's like, you know, like the chickens and the different animals and there's cockroach skewers and insect stuff, and I'm like,
well, there are cockroach skewers in here.
Not in my favourite recipes, but yeah. But I'd walk around, I was like, you know, it was eye-opening as a kid. And then as I started to travel and immerse myself, I guess, in the surf culture, it was, I guess, a lot of the food was always like fresh and colourful and alive, and you know, fresh seafoods. And we're out on boat trips in Indonesia, and you know, super clear water, and you're catching the food you're going to eat on that day. And I guess I got that attachment, that food and smells and being out and about, that I'd experienced this already from 11 to 20, was I was already 9 years, and now being, you know, 26 years old is, yeah, I think I can definitely start to feel those experiences in me. And yeah, I'm super fortunate to be in that position.
So you, as a kid, you were good at all sport. Like you just did sport in all different directions, and you excelled in all these different sports. What was it about surfing that drew you to it over the others? I mean, running and soccer and all these other things you're doing so well.
Oh, I love sport. I just love that attachment to, as I said, the different languages. Like, sport is its own language. And I guess I love that initial feeling of movement and then testing myself. I have three older brothers and nothing was ever good enough. And I wasn't, you know, as fast as them or strong as them. And I just wanted to beat them at things, and that led me to going, I might, you know, try soccer and touch football. And, you know, I was a nipper when I was like 5 or 6 years old. So the one constant in my life was always the ocean.
And you grew up in Jarrell?
At Jarrell.
On the south coast, yeah.
Yeah, so that was like the best playground as a kid. It's free, you can be there as long as you want. You sit on like, there was like a towel, I remember, and a box of shapes. Remember these kids?
Yeah,
like, kids with boxes of shapes on the beach. And our parents were like, oh, you know, that'll be all right. And they would just watch us from the deck. And yeah, so always having the water there to come back to in and around those other sports. So I started competing as a surfer around 11, because my brother a year older was competing. So he towed me into it. And he says I'm forever in his debt. And and then I just gradually kind of learnt the ropes and kept pushing myself. And I just had that, I guess, that deep desire inside to want to be the best. And I didn't realise that would lead me to realising you could be the best at something in the whole world. Like, that just seemed like this concept I wanted to explore and be a part of. So since then, I've been on a journey from probably age of 16, was just solely surfing, and that was my chosen path to mastery.
And I mean, so many surfers talk about what it's like to be out there, and that it's a different mindset, and that there's a spiritual element to it. There's a whole range of things that sort of people try to explain to people who sit on the beach and watch. What is it that do you feel all those other elements? Are they part of your surfing experience as well?
I think that is one reason why surfing stood out amongst all sports. To me, it was something that I could truly go into every day and not know what was going to happen. Like, you're aware of like what the conditions are going to be or the waves are like, but it is just this, I guess, that spiritual connection to the ocean and its power and that type of thing. And you're really in your own space as well and thoughts. And when you ride a wave, there's no other choice, like if you want to ride it to its best ability, to be anywhere other than right there in that moment. So I feel like surfing draws me all the way back to the present moment. And because if you disengage with that, you don't know where to put your maneuvers, where it's going to break, how powerful it is. But I'd say for anyone out there that hasn't tried surfing, it's not necessarily, especially the hobby side, it's not necessarily about doing the biggest turns or actually standing up and riding the wave. It's to just go out on a board and sit out the back of the waves. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of that Zen experience, that mindfulness that everyone's kind of aware of now. And I think it's all in the fun of learning something and not being good at it. Mm-hmm. It's not like, it's one of those sports that will test you and challenge you, because it's just so humbling that wave is just never the same. So how are you ever going to be the master of it? And that's why, you know, I want to do it for as long as I possibly can.
And scaredy cats like me, because I remember as a kid, boogie boarding, being out the back, loving it, you know, summer holidays and the like. And as I got older, I went less and less often, and now I really even see it, even though I live very close to the beach, I'd rarely ever get there. And then you see things like Mick Fanning being attacked by a shark, and I freak out. Like those things, because there's a great video I saw the other day of a whole bunch of surfers just hanging out waiting for the next wave, and a large whale just going underneath them and then coming back and going past. None of them noticed it.
No.
Yeah, so what, like, are you out there, are you aware of, do you have things like experiences with dolphins and those kinds of things as well, and sharks and...
I truly think, like, some days when I'm out there, and especially days down on the south coast, we got a lot of empty stretches of beach and reefs and coastline. I definitely, on those days where I'm sitting there and the whales are migrating, it could be like 50 metres away, and I can feel the, like, it's like thunder in the water, and the whale, like, whales are jumping and playing, and, like, sometimes I feel like they're waving, like, high five and all this stuff, because... And seals, we've got a couple of seals around, dolphins constantly. Obviously, the sharks are in their play, like, that's their environment, their home. So, again, it's something that you're wary of, that maybe that element of sharks, but just the beauty of seeing, like, a healthy ecosystem, like, to see other animals enjoying or, you know, being kind of free and in their element. I think it's a very unique experience, and it's hard to pass on that feeling, but I kind of just sit there like jaw drop, like, whoa, like, I miss, like, every wave that goes by. I was like, there's another whale. Like, it's like the first time all over again, and I'll, like, stop and, you know, if I'm up on the headland, try and, like, get a little clip of it or something. So I don't know what that is that keeps us, like, so, you know, surprised every time, but I think that's why we all love it.
Do you think there's that this you know, within the Australian culture, that this surfing thing and the beach experience is a growing experience, or is it something that these horrible phones are getting sort of heading us in the wrong direction, like staying too long connected to the internet and not actually getting outside the house?
Yeah, I love that. I guess the beach and our Aussie beach culture, it's something that I try and celebrate everywhere we go. I was so like, oh man, that's the best part about growing up, going down the beach and just being there, and there's no time limit, and like, you have sand, like, everywhere, and you're so salty that, like, your eyelashes are, like, crusted over, and your eyebrows, and you got all salt everywhere, and you got boogie boards and surfboards, and, you know, I try and promote that to families with young kids, like, you know, what should they pick up? And I just say it's, you know, the best thing for them to buy them a little foamy or a board and put in the time to commit to be around that process. Like, if it's not fun or not an enjoyable experience, if the waves are too daunting or they get dumped or something, yeah, they might be a bit timid and not want to go back in. But if you're there encouraging and just playing and spending the time to play, I think everyone's sort of forgotten that that's a really simple gift you can give someone, yeah. Just that attention and love and just be there playing. And so I truly hope it's not dying out. I know on the other scale, I know there's so many more adults and people in their later years picking up surfing and going, oh man, I wish I picked this up younger. But it's cool to see that they're finding that zen in a sport into their retirement. So you could be like, I was 3 or 4 riding a boogie board and a surfboard from 5 and 6. And you can be like, you know, 70 or 80 and still riding your longboard. So, nah, man, that's a pretty cool sport.
Yeah. Well, I grew up on the Northern Beaches, so I should be...
Oh, you're in. come on, this summer.
Yeah. This book is perfectly timed for our summer and, you know, getting ourselves organised. And also that moment when you wake up on January 1st and you've gone, oh my God, what did I do last night? This year, I'm not going to do that crap. I'm going to get myself in order. And this book will arrive on your lap from Booktopia. And then, boom, you follow these steps and you got a better life. Is that the plan? Are we going to change Australia?
Well, I do like the old New Year's resolution and a good time to reflect. But on the other hand, I was conscious to name the book Summer Fit All Year Round. So I think it's about working with you to really fine-tune that philosophy. I think
so. It's not just for Queenslanders, because No.
I want people to really have a think of when they do, you know, the societal pressures of, like, you know, put yourself on the line and put the New Year's resolution in and make it concrete and in. But I think maybe I want people to have a think about, especially when they're reading the book, is about those philosophies of, like, yeah, I'm going to treat my body with love and care. I've only got one. And the stuff that I am putting in, maybe there is a lot of junk food going in. It's just looking at the balance of what you're doing and saying, yeah, I'm making a commitment. I think that's the one thing I feel that resonates with men, women, young, old, is like, you want to feel great. You want to feel pain-free. You don't want to feel lethargic. You don't want to feel sleepy, especially at work. How can I best put, like, my best ingredients in the melting pot to get the most out of me? Like, whether you're mom, dad, like, I think feeling awful and feeling even from pain or not moving or, you know, limited exercise, they're all contributors. So I think it's more a holistic snapshot, and I hope that's what people get out of the book.
Because there are people who do change their life, do feel that there are more hours in the day. Like, they've got more energy, or they're better organised, or they've been thinking about things more clearly, and they're not catching up on stuff.
Yeah, I think the worst feeling you can feel is letting yourself down. So say you're like, yeah, I am going to commit to doing... not all or nothing. I think all or nothing, it's just such a slippery slope, and you just set yourself up to fail a little bit. Like, something achievable, you might be like, oh, I'm going to cook 2 of the recipes, or I'm going to do... It might just be starting, so 1 fitness session this week, or being active, or going for a walk and some exercise. So, and then I think once you get into that routine of going, I committed that, or I wrote it down, and then not doing it, I think sit in that feeling for a second and go, oh, I've slipped back into my patterns. It doesn't feel awesome. Like, try and really, step up to yourself and be there.
Well, Summer Fit All Year Round is a great book for people who are just deciding, like, just feeling that they've fallen into the wrong habits and want to climb out, because you reach in and give them a hand and lift them out. Like, this is a really easy book to follow. The pictures and the food in here is just divine. Like, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous book. You must be very proud of what Pan and Macmillan's done with this. And, you know, this is you and them working together and putting this together is just, it's just a divine, divine book. We flicked through it up in the office early this week, just going, holy hell, look at this food. Because it is just, I wouldn't have associated all this with all this yumminess with health in the, you know, it just looks absolutely gorgeous.
That's brilliant. And I think bringing it to life, with that imagery. And like, I know that not everyone can be down at the beach or on a board every single day, but the essence of that, that you can go there in your mind, like create space to just be other places sometimes, and do that with your food. Go to different places in what recipes you pick, or salads or cultures. And I think what's cool is that you can open it up at any stage of the book, at any point, and find something new or discover something new in the book every time you pick it up. So I think it's a lot of fun maybe to, you know, help with the kids too. And if they're going to help with the cooking and teach them, you know, that healthy philosophy, then what better way to do it with colour and great produce.
Sally, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us.
No worries. Enjoy the summer, everyone.
Thank you. And you can get hold of Sally's new book, Summer Fit All Year Round, at booktopia.com.au right now.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.